Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
1800 453 106 if you want to join us here in the programme today. The HSE have recommended that pregnant women who live more than half an hour away from a hospital should no longer have the option of a home birth. And community midwives have said that this will have a huge impact on many women living in rural parts of the country. But the HSE say it's for the safety of everybody involved. So what do you think? Coco is with us on the line today because you had a home birth, Coco. Can you maybe share some of your experience with us?
I've actually had four home births, actually.
Okay.
And I live in Wicklow and I lived up in Rindwood, which would have been one of the areas that were not allowed or would no longer be allowed. So it would have had a huge impact on me.
Yeah.
I would not have got to have the beautiful births that I got to have. I also had a very fast labour, so I would have more than likely had my babies in the car on the way to Hollis Street, which definitely would not have been comfortable or ideal or private or safe or anything. So
you obviously had the option then to pick and to choose. And was having that option to do that important to you?
Oh, my God, it was massive. But, you know, it was hard because there were very few midwives and I had to, spend a lot of energy and time. There was, you know, quite a period in all of my pregnancies where I didn't, except for the first, actually, where I didn't have a midwife because, you know, there were no midwives in the Wicklow area catering, so they had to come from Dublin and, you know, they were getting booked up fast. So I had to, you know, spend a long time writing letters and trying to convince them to take me on and then was never sure if they were going to be able to. And so it was a very uneasy and stressful time during pregnancy.
Talk us through, Coco, the process. Like once you made up your mind, and I'm sure it's something you probably thought about for a long period of time, but once you decided that you wanted to go with the home birth option, where do you go or who do you contact or how does that process work?
Okay, well, I come from a family where over 20 babies have been born in my family, to my mom, to my aunts. So for me, I'd seen it. I'd been present at births. I'd seen how beautiful and you know, how supported they were and how it was so just natural and not disruptive. They didn't have to, you know, leave the other children and how supported they were. So for me, it was just, it wasn't even something I really thought about. I knew that was what was right for me. So I had my first baby almost 20 years ago and I was 22 and I was living up in between Rindwood and Anamosa, quite far up, and it was winter time as well. So you know, anybody that lives up there knows the roads can be quite dangerous. But I had to, back then it was different. You had to apply for a grant. And the midwife that had delivered several babies in my family already, and I was very familiar with her, she actually lived in Bray, which was not far. It was about 15 minutes away from my house. So that was quite a much easier process. You kind of applied for a grant and got it. And then the HSC brought in, it was different. So then basically you would have to find a midwife, see if she could take you on, and then you would apply to the HSC, you know, to tick all the safety boxes, you know, were you low risk, were you a first-time mother? Luckily, the first time round, I didn't have that. So I was able to have my baby at home without any of that the first time round. And so was my sister, who's also had four births and home births. And she was 21 or 22 when she had her first one at home as well. So we didn't, you know, nowadays we probably wouldn't have been allowed to have our first one at home under the guidelines of the HSC. But and then there was the thing of getting signed off by the person in the HSC that deals with your area. And so once you were, you know, given the all okay, we still had all our bloods and everything done in the hospital. And if anything arose, we still had to be signed off by it.
Okay. So in your experience then, Coco, did you ever have a nurse from a maternity hospital present during the birth with you or an ambulance on standby, or you didn't have to go through any of that?
No, I didn't. I mean, I had very straightforward, very beautiful birth with my baby.
Okay.
It was never, there was not fear around it. There was nothing like that. I was healthy. I was, well, actually, I suffered from hypermenesis when I was pregnant. So I was admitted to hospital several times and actually got put in the pre-labor ward. So even though I've never had a hospital birth, I really got to experience the women, you know, in the pre-labor ward going through it and the doctors coming in and prepping the ones that were going to have C-sections, the ones that were going to be induced. And I just thought, oh my God, I would hate this process. It felt so mechanicalized or like, you know, I don't know. For me, birth was such an intuitive thing and I was so, I felt so safe and supported and there was no distractions or bright lights or people walking in and out that I didn't know.
Okay.
Like my midwives would come and spend an hour each appointment with me and really got to know me and my family. And so I felt really relaxed and safe and able to just do whatever felt right to me.
Okay.
You know, follow my body. And so I had very beautiful, empowering births that were very simple and quick enough as well.
All went well. Good.
Quickest was 45 minutes. So.
Let me bring in Shelley as well, Coco. Shelley is a doula from the Association actually of Ireland as well. Apologies, Shelley. Tell me, what do you make of these proposed changes?
I'm also a home birth mother. I birthed all three of my babies at home. So from a personal and a professional perspective, I think that they are uncalled for. You know, I really do. I think that this is the removal of choice in a woman's right to choose where she should birth her baby. And there's not great data supporting these new recommendations. If we just look to the midwives, the professionals in this realm, you know, these are the experts in home birth. This is not something that they want either. And so when you look at women are, you know, proclaiming that, you know, they are outraged. They want the right to choose where to birth their babies, you know, safely. Home birth is a safe option for women to birth their babies, especially in healthy pregnancies. You know, when you look at NICE guidelines, NICE guidelines would even say for multiparous women, women who've given birth before, it can be safer to birth at home. There's two recent studies, international studies, that says we don't improve outcomes by putting time restrictions on travel to hospital. And so I think that there maybe is this cultural belief that comes in that, you know, assumes that hospital is always the safest place for all women. The reality is it might not be. It's safe for some women, absolutely. And I think any home birth mother, even for myself, you know, you evaluate risk. You evaluate, you know, what is safe for you and your baby.
Yeah.
I don't think that there is any mother that casually just goes, I'm going to throw caution to the wind just to have an experience and birth my baby.
Yeah, of course. And I'm sure, absolutely, that's certainly all taken account of. But it's the HSE, it's the Women and Infants Health Programme. And that's what's made this recommendation. And they say that it's from a clinical perspective, Shelley, that, you know, it would be safest that all women accessing the home birth service would reside within 30 minutes or less of the, I suppose, effectively, the kind of the blue light distance from the nearest maternity hospital. Like, is that not something that we need to take into consideration? Like, when you just take into a fact, I don't know how many times we've talked here in the programme, not in the context of home birthing, but just in general about ambulance wait times. So is it not something that should be considered?
Look, I think that, you know, I'm going to revert back to the community midwives here and in support of, you know, their outrage. These are the professionals who are also experts in this field. You know, as a community midwife who is hired by the HSE, they are trained in obstetric emergencies. They are experts in this field. And they are all saying that all this is going to create is actually more lack of safety. Because now what we're doing is we're putting women unsupervised in these remote locations. We're now putting them onto the roads in labour without clinical supervision. If I look at my last two labours, my second birth at home was 2 hours. My third was 15 minutes.
Okay.
You know, so like the reality is some women will birth quicker. So I'm not sure, are they taking this into consideration, what risk we're putting women travelling these long distances now without...
Is there- Is there a concern as well, Shelley? Because I was just reading some of the commentary from various midwife groups and organisations about this today, and there seemed to be some fear, and perhaps you can maybe shed some light on this, but a sort of a fearful element that it might encourage women or pregnant women to turn to, I suppose, free birthing, if you want to call it that, or nearly given birth at home without, you know, the likes of yourself or others from the Doula Association or other midwife support, basically without assistance. Like, is there a genuine concern about that?
Absolutely. And it's already happening. And the reality is, maybe for some woman, that's her choice, you know, and she might feel that is the safest option for her.
Okay.
But the reality is, these kind of guidelines are going to force women to make these choices when maybe it isn't the right decision, you know, because they feel like they're between a rock and a hard place. And for some women like myself, you know, I suffer with white coat syndrome. I get very heightened anxiety states in hospital environments. Like, we have to realize that there's risk with that. And so me going in with someone with anxiety into a hospital, you know, when everything is healthy and well, I might actually be bringing more complication in that kind of an environment to my hormones, prolonging labor, and ultimately potentially creating more complications with the disruption of my hormones. So I think people negate that reality that for some women, a hospital environment isn't the safest place for them.
Okay, let me bring in David as well. David owns the Lifeline Ambulance Service, and he's joining us here too, Coco and Shelley. David, can you? I know that you know you're not necessarily working in this area every single day, you know, through the HSC Ambulance Service, but can you just maybe explain to us what kind of resource something like this might take in terms of that 30-minute ambulance time that the HSE is now proposing?
Yeah, thanks, Andrea. I think. Look, obviously, no need to know for my name, and I'm a male, so I'm not directly involved in home births. And I think this is a very sensitive topic. And I hear, you know, Coco and Shelley spelled out clearly for them the importance of that. And I'm not going to get involved in relation to the rights and wrongs of that. What is happening at the moment, and you mentioned it, Andrea, is there's a shortage of ambulances. There's a shortage of response times. That carries with it an inherent danger to all citizens in the country. And we've heard about this for the last number of years, and they haven't improved. We're about to come upon the winter, and this, in my view, is based on my experience. And, you know, I move 18,000 patients a year, public and private patients, and we coordinate all the transport for all the organs and human organs around the country. So we're intimate knowledge with the infrastructure that's there at the moment. And the health service is bracing itself for an enormous crisis this winter, if it isn't already in crisis. And I think it's in that context, for me, that the concern would be around having resources. To have an ambulance available in the event of being needed means it gets taken off the road for something else. I think it's a human impossibility at the moment to make that vehicle available based on the shortages. I think it's an unfortunate, I agree with everyone's comments around choice. I think in an ideal world, the choice should be there and resources should be there to do that. Others would argue that the resources aren't even there for somebody who has a heart attack or a bad car crash or any other medical emergency that requires treatment at the moment. And taking a resource out of off the road to park it in case it's needed, because many of these home births are very safe, which is great, just in case it's needed, causes a great difficulty and a challenge.
So just explain how that, sorry David, sorry to cut across you for a moment, but I'm interested in how this actually, in how it works, and not to be overly technical about it, but the mechanics of it, that like if I decide, you know, I want to have a home birth, and Coco explained for us, I suppose, the process that she went through a number of years ago, but you know, does it mean that when you get to a certain stage in the pregnancy or in the birthing, in the labour, that an ambulance is on standby? Is that always the case?
Well, I think the proposal has been that's the ideal situation to have had it. The real technical answer to the question, Andrea, is nobody would ever know what's been made available, what's not been made available. But the gold standard is to have one available. And, you know, I think Shelley mentioned as well, correctly so, many people run into difficulties, with pregnancies, not intending even to have a home delivery and need to get to hospital quickly. Those resources are not even guaranteed. So this is a resource issue that the HSE has had for some significant period of time. It's not a service we provide. We provide services to the HSE as their main contract for moving patients for them, to release pressure off the hospital system to do that. But in relation to, they do not have the resources to deal with all types of emergencies, not just labour emergencies and birth emergencies at home or anywhere else, by the way. This is like equally, Andrea, somebody at home who's being treated in one of the maternity units around the country. There's no guarantee that an ambulance is available to bring them in. And this is a very big challenge for people and for all health, for all adults and citizens in the country, and children and women and men's health equally. The consequences of not investing in an ambulance service, not managing the ambulance service appropriately, leaves the patients and the citizens vulnerable.
Does that mean there's a choice then that has to be made in terms of when you're looking at the resources and where they're being allocated?
Yeah, and I think also everybody has to make there is a choice in relation to where you make resources obviously available. You've got so many number of ambulances, emergency ambulances available each day, and they're rostered around the country. And obviously from the HSE National Ambulance Service, they roster those vehicles day and night based on their own rostering for the last number of years and some work they've done in relation to the average incidences that might occur each day. Like there might be 9 cardiac arrests. Corps captains have a higher number of cardiac arrests per day. They are life-threatening emergencies. The challenge I see here for the home deliveries is if you are doing a home delivery by its nature and you want to do a home delivery by its nature and you're vested in doing it, which is a wonderful thing for people to do and be able to do, if you need to go to hospital, that means by definition there is a problem. You're not going willy-nilly. There is a problem for mommy or for the baby. And that is a really serious set of circumstances, because if you're willing to have the baby at home, want to have that child at home, and should be allowed to do that. I'm just saying the resources currently for heart attacks and for stuff that arises in a normal emergency situation each day aren't available. Now, don't get me wrong, Andrea, if someone is having a home delivery and an emergency arises, they go into the system like everybody else. That doesn't mean they're excluded. That just means there's nothing set aside on a dedicated basis.
No, but it does mean, though, then, that you could say make this point for any emergency that we're talking about, but I'm in whatever way the ambulance service look at incidents and emergencies as they come in, you're talking about diverting an ambulance, though.
Yeah, you are, and hoping an ambulance is available. And the more rural parts of the country you go to, the greater challenge and difficulty from geography that exists. That's just a statistical fact. It's not a medical fact.
Is that a consideration then, Shelley, in all of this? Is that the point the HSE is making?
Like, for me, I think there's real poor planning here going on in regards to emergency transfers, because what's classified as an emergency? If we look at the HSE home birth report for, the last decade, look at the top reasons for transfer. The maternal request for analgesia, perhaps she wants an epidural, that's not an emergency. And the second is prolonged labour. That's not an emergency. And yet you have the HSE assigning an ambulance-only transfer. Like, that's poor planning.
Okay. Stay with us, Shelley, if you don't mind. Just stay with us, because yourself and David and Coco as well, because I do just need to take a very short break, but there's a lot of people getting in touch about this. We'll come back to it in a moment.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Avant Money.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.
You were talking about this HSE recommendation today about whether a woman who's pregnant, if they live more than 30 minutes from a hospital, that they might no longer have the option of having a home birth. And there's been a lot of reaction to this today. David, who's from Lifeline Ambulance, and Shelley, who's from the Doula Association of Ireland, are still with me here on the programme. But I just want to get some listeners' views on this too. Michael is on the line. Michael, you were listening to the discussion a few moments ago. What was the contribution, or what contribution did you want to make?
Yes, I find this topic really hard every time it comes up, because basically, had my wife opted for a home birth 40 years ago, I would be a widow at this minute. She had two relatively easy births, she would have been a prime candidate for a home birth, and possibly we'd have chosen one. It would have been her choice. But luckily, it was in the hospital. After being there for an hour or so, there was a sudden panic. I was put out of the room. It seems that the placenta, as I understand it, the placenta was coming away and there was bleeding behind it. She lost a lot of blood. And basically, if she hadn't got fluids there and then, I mean, they were working on it for a few hours. It was really touch and go. As I say, I would be a widow at this point.
Okay.
And that was my third child, a daughter.
And everything, I mean...
Sorry, I find...
No, of course. Take your time, Michael.
Yeah, that was 40 years ago.
And would a home birth for your wife, for your third child, Michael, was that something that you talked about, or...?
No. The first two births had been so quick that I missed them. Like, I was hardly home when she had the babies. So I was just anxious to be at the third birth, and which was in the hospital. Now, as far as I know, it wasn't available. It wasn't discussed, even though her mother had a number of, way back before that, obviously, in the 50s, early 60s, had home births. But presumably the HSE decided, as I would agree with, that you just don't know what's going to happen. As I say, she had two, it's easy for me to say, I wasn't having the babies, but she would say herself, she had two relatively easy births. She would have been a prime candidate. Why not have it at home? It doesn't take long. And that's what happened.
Okay. Your wife was okay, Michael,
She was in hospital for 3 weeks.
Okay.
And thankfully the daughter was okay too. Yeah, and she now has three children of her own.
Right, okay. Yeah.
All born in hospital, I might add.
Right, okay. So you're busy so then, by all accounts?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Seven grandchildren altogether.
Oh, right, okay. Well, listen, Michael, I'm thank you for getting in touch with us and for sharing your experience with us here on the programme. There's actually a huge response to this as well. Shelley, maybe just on this briefly, I know it's a recommendation, and I know previously, actually, was it only about 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, there was a petition circulating that had generated over about 1,300, I thought, signatures at the time. But do we know when, if or when, this recommendation will be implemented?
We're not sure right now. There seems to be a lot of work that's been done behind the scenes without consultation of, the likes of the Community Midwives Association themselves. So a lot of stuff is happening behind the scenes. A lot of the stuff is just leaked without real awareness for a lot of the people who are going to be impacted, especially the self-employed community midwives. So really, I think a lot of people aren't getting the information around when this could happen, but obviously, we have to keep talking about it because these things sometimes roll out. Just like when water birth was restricted, that was banned until further investigation, but the investigations proved that it had nothing to do with water, okay. But they were never rolled back. And so I feel that the concern is here that this is going to get rolled out, and maybe down the road we do have more resources in the ambulance services,
okay.
But then this doesn't get rolled back. These stipulations don't get rolled back. And that is the big concern here.
Okay. All right. Listen, Shelley, thank you for joining us on the programme. Shelley there, O'Hanlon from the Doula Association of Ireland. Coco, who was in touch with us earlier as well, sharing her experience. Michael too. David from Lifeline Ambulance. There's a lot of reaction actually to this here on the text line. I will come to that in just a couple of moments' time. We are going to be talking as well actually about the impact of paid parking on local towns.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Avant Money.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.